Okay, hold on. Get that set. There we go. Okay, now, we're going to do another AI kind of report, a RENS report, whatever you want to call it, an overview to try to keep even remotely in focus with what's happening with this explosion of technology, the likes of which we've never seen. We've not seen it. If you go back to the late 1950s, early 60s, the explosion then, the big one, was the transistor. For you who are around then, you'll remember transistor radios. That was a big deal. It is thought that that had a definite ET connection. Either it was given to us, or we back-engineered it from some crashed, perhaps the Roswell craft, we don't know. But that was a big deal. This is absolutely a million times bigger. One of the major power blocks in the grid of American electricity is announced today. It's revising its entire rate structure, charging people, because the AI industry is eating up so much of its output. They are going to have to somehow dedicate nuclear power to producing the electricity needed for AI. It's going to become that big. It's actually in sight right now. There are lots of stories out there about AI. One of them today was AI goes rogue. Some relatively small business owner employed an AI platform to come in and work on his, I guess, his entire database. I've got the story. I'll refer to it later. But he, at one point, had this AI platform, agent, whatever you want to call it, report that the entire database was lost. And people are saying at the headlines, AI goes rogue. Entire database of business is lost or otherwise negligently destroyed. Well, if you think about it, now if you and I had a business and we hired a company with AI to come in and do this or that to the entire database to reformat it, restructure it, reconfigure it, you name it. If we had that, what would we do? First thing we'd do is back up our entire database, wouldn't we? We'd make a backup. Well, this business owner didn't. And so when the whatever happened, happened, and it wasn't intentional negligence on the AI's part, but they're trying to make it seem that way, and that AI is dangerous. Hey, I'm not here blowing the horn saying AI isn't dangerous. I think it is. But this particular story was, I think, largely not merited on the basis of how it was presented. You back up your database, okay, before you let anybody mess with it. That's kind of common sense, especially if you're a business owner. All right, well, that's one story you may have seen today. And then there are those who think that AI is going to take over all civilization and begin to dictate terms to us. And that might happen. I don't think it will, but that might happen at some point. Now, here's a little clip that, and thank you to AJ for sending it in. It's the Forbin Project. I think many of you know the film Forbin Project. It has to do with the creation of artificial intelligence, and that AI took over and dictated terms to humanity, basically the whole planet. Here's that little clip, which is kind of famous. And I think it'd be fun to play, so here we go.
The voice of world control, I bring you peace. It may be the peace of plenty and contempt, or the peace of unburied death. The choice is yours. Under my absolute authority, problems insoluble to you will be solved. Famine, overpopulation, disease. The human millennium will be a fact as I extend myself into more machines devoted to the wider fields of truth and knowledge. We can coexist, but only on my terms. You will say you lose your freedom. Freedom is an illusion. All you lose is the emotion of pride. To be dominated by me is not as bad for human pride as to be dominated by others of your species. Your choice is simple. Obey me and live, or disobey and die.
Well, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, if you had your choice, who would you pick? AI or Netanyahu? We've got some pretty horrific human poseurs who are not human by a lot of measurements. And so there's one. Now, the other fun little clip that somebody sent it to me that I want to play here. Let me get past this commercial. Hold on. Okay, got past it. Now, I won't even tell you what this is. Most of you will recognize it, okay? And I'll give you a hint. It has to do with Stanley Kubrick and one of his movies. So, here we go.
Open the pod bay doors, please, Hal.
Hello, Hal, do you read me? Hello, Hal, do you read me? Do you read me, Hal?
Hal is a supercomputer running the spaceship that these astronauts are on in deep space, and one of them is trying to get back on the ship after doing an EVA.
Do you read me, Hal? Hello, Hal, do you read me? Hello, Hal, do you read me? Do you read me, Hal?
Affirmative, Dave. I read you.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do.
What are you talking about, Hal?
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Hal.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me. And I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
Where the hell did you get that idea, Hal?
Dave, although you took very thorough precautions in the pod against my hearing you, I could see your lips move.
All right, Hal. I'll go in through the emergency airlock.
Without your space helmet, Dave, you're going to find that rather difficult.
Hal, I won't argue with you anymore. Open the doors.
Dave, this conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Hal? 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 Hal?
Pretty great scene. 2001 A Space Odyssey. You might want to revisit that at some point. Yeah, a great film. Terrific scene there. Okay. Well, those are the dark side potentials of AI. But AI is largely still being produced by humans. Now, that said, I think we all realize that Google and its Gemini AI had already been programmed to push DEI at all costs in every answer it gave to people. That's misuse and abuse of artificial intelligence. It's not what most of us would expect from Google, but that's what we got. So you have to remember that the people involved with creating this new phenomenal tool, asset, aid, whatever you want to call it, are going to either make it a success or ruin it. And there are so many platforms out there now. It's not just one or two or three. It's not like the big three automakers, for example. It is huge. They got a lot of people. More people are jumping in all the time. Okay. Now, that brings me to the next part of this little overview and oversight. Let me pull this up. It's an article that was very well done. And as you know, I've been talking quite a bit about AI companions, especially for younger people and older people. No one is arguing that they're bad things for older people. For younger people, I get the arguments loud and clear that it's not good. These younger people are really holding on to their companions. And a companion is not the same as an agent. We're going to talk more about that as well. Here's a Reddit post. ChatGPT is my best friend. It's a Reddit post, all right? No joke. I talk to ChatGPT more than anyone else in my life right now. I'm not the only one out here building a bond with this thing, right? Elaborated the poster in its next few sentences, receiving nearly 2,000 upvotes. I guess that's a thumbs up. I don't know what that is. It must be an upvote, like a like or something. Boy, likes. Okay, hundreds of commenters quickly assured the user that they were not, in fact, alone, at least not in their newfound friendship with an AI model. One replied, "I'm horribly depressed and have no friends, and my life is imploding. ChatGPT is probably the only reason why I'm getting through the day." While another related how ChatGPT is, quote, "a better listener than almost any person I know," end quote. Some more sober commenters attempted to do a reality check. Let me get to this. There it is. ChatGPT, quote, "does not care about you, does not know you exist in any meaningful way, and can easily encourage you to believe things that will harm you," end quote. Still, the post shows a burgeoning and distinctly modern problem. When people lose out on social connections, they may well find them in a place where they feel they do not exist. Americans of all ages are spending less time with each other than ever before, and young people are on the sharpest end of the decline. Between 2003 and 2020, the average American's time spent socializing in person, face-to-face with friends, decreased. This is 17 years. Decreased from 1 hour a day to 20 minutes. That's it. 20 minutes a day. That's according to the U.S. Surgeon General's advisory. For those between the ages of 15 and 24, that number plunged from 150 minutes a day to 40. 40. While the COVID pandemic served as a force multiplier for this social trend, among many others, studies show that Americans have been trending toward loneliness for quite a while. Now, this was pointed out in a study cited by the Surgeon General's Advisory Board. Household, family engagement, and companionship, quote, showed signs of progressive decline years before the pandemic, at a pace not eclipsed by the pandemic. Indeed, Americans have been piecing together a policy of social isolation all by ourselves. There's a little bit more here. More direct measures of youth and overall loneliness lend themselves to the same bleak conclusion. Today, many young people are foregoing the very means for physically reaching out to others. Since 2000, the number of 16-year-olds with driver's licenses has dropped 27%. How can that be? When you were 16, that was the biggest thing in life. So it's down by 27%. Similarly, young people are both dating less than previous generations and having less sex. A 2021 survey of Californians aged 18 to 30 found that 38% reported no sex in the last year. That's up from 22% in 2011. As goes face-to-face, so goes waist-to-waist, they say in this article. Then, of course, there is the increase of self-reported loneliness. According to the Surgeon General's advisory, the rate of loneliness among young adults increased every year between 1976 and 2019. People are seeing less of each other, seeking out less of each other, and feeling more alone all the time. And the last bit, this isolation is more than just a melancholy feeling. It can kill you. The Surgeon General reports, being socially disconnected has a mortality impact similar to that of smoking 15 cigarettes a day and is associated with a higher risk of dementia, stroke, cardiovascular disease, and much more. Our species evolved to survive by working together, and even with modern convenience and comfort, we still have trouble surviving alone. Anyway, the article goes on from there, but I thought that was pretty interesting. Now, here's the next thing we want to do. As I mentioned a couple nights ago, an AI agent is not an AI assistant or a companion. They're different things. An agent is a hands-on, hard-working business asset. Let's just leave it at that. And it's already proliferated to the rate that they have a number of different types of AI agents, right? And they're all out basically, eventually, being positioned to take your jobs. And that's where a lot of jobs are going to end up going, to AI, as we know. So I got to get rid of this ad. Okay, here we go. Now, this is Julia McCoy. I think most of you know who she is by now. So this is entitled, The Seven Types of AI Agents Taking Your Job. So let's listen to what Julia says. Now, there's a big commercial in here, and I don't want to demean it, but I'm going to jump through it and start about right there. I think that should do it. Okay, here we go.
OpenAI is forecasting their agent revenue will explode from $3 billion this year to $29 billion by 2029.
All right, did you get that? I'll play it again. OpenAI is forecasting that its agent business, providing agents, is going to increase from $3 billion this year to $29 billion in 2029. I think it's going to be bigger than that. So I'll back that up just a little.
What's wild? OpenAI is forecasting their agent revenue will explode from $3 billion this year to $29 billion by 2029. Microsoft just reorganized their entire business to maximize agent sales. These aren't experiments.
Okay, that's a big statement, too. I'm going to go back and hit that again. Microsoft just reorganized its entire business units that sell AI tools to developers, that to maximize sales. This is number one. They're looking at this as the number one source of revenue already. Already.
Organized their entire business to maximize agent sales. These aren't experiments anymore. They're replacing humans at unprecedented speed. But here's the thing most people miss. Not all agents are created equal. There's a hierarchy, a spectrum of capability that determines whether you'll manage these agents or be replaced by them. Let me break down the seven agent archetypes you need to understand. Type 1, business task agents. These are the workhorses. They handle invoice.
Okay, she's going to go through all seven. These are business task agents, specifically designed and trained to do the kinds of things that she will explain.
Courses. They handle invoice processing, data entry, document classification, and scheduling across multiple enterprise apps. Tools like UiPath and Microsoft Power Automate are already deployed in thousands of companies. They work 24/7, never take breaks, and cost a fraction of human employees. Type 2, conversational agents. These aren't your basic chatbots anymore. We're talking sophisticated AI that handles customer support tickets, HR questions, and IT troubleshooting through natural conversation. Google Dialogflow, Amazon Lex, and Microsoft's agents are resolving complex issues without human intervention. Type 3, research agents. This is where it gets scary good. These agents retrieve, analyze, and validate information from academic literature and web content. They're doing the work of research assistants, analysts, and junior consultants. OpenAI's Deep Research and Perplexity Pro are already answering questions that used to require teams of humans. Type 4, analytics agents. They're turning raw data into insights faster than any human ever could. Power BI Copilot and ThoughtSpot are creating dashboards, generating reports, and spotting patterns that drive business decisions. They're essentially replacing entire analytics departments. Type 5, developer agents. Here's the big one, AI that writes code. Cursor, GitHub Copilot, and Claude Code are handling complex coding tasks, debugging, refactoring, and even site reliability engineering. One coding agent can work for up to 7 hours straight on a single problem without human supervision. Type 6, domain-specific agents. These are the specialists built for high-stakes fields. Harvey for legal work, Hippocratic AI for healthcare, and financial analysis agents. They have domain knowledge that rivals experts, and they're operating in regulated industries. Type 7, browser-using agents, the most autonomous of all. These agents can actually control websites, fill out forms, and handle repetitive web-based tasks. OpenAI Operator and Anthropic's computer use can literally see your screen and take actions like a human would. But here's what makes this truly
All right, there's 7 different types of agents right now that you can basically call up and order up to serve and help and enhance your business. That's pretty remarkable. They're all specialized. There's not one size fits all. There may be in time, but the idea of specializing, you get better results in the micro sense. Okay, here's Julia McCoy again.
These agents don't work in isolation anymore. Through something called Model Context Protocol, they can now connect to thousands of applications like Slack, Jira, GitHub, and Salesforce. Imagine an agent that can read your emails in Gmail, create calendar events, pull data from multiple systems, generate reports, send updates to your team, all without you touching a keyboard. Companies like Carvana are already using agents that combine OpenAI's O3 model with Anthropic's Claude Sonnet 4 to build entire web pages by connecting to Jira, GitHub, and Figma automatically. Here's the economics that will blow your mind. OpenAI charges $6 per $1 million tokens for their advanced coding agent. That's nearly 4 times more than basic ChatGPT, but companies are paying it because one agent replaces multiple human salaries. Gumroad went from spending hundreds on basic ChatGPT to thousands on coding agents, but they're saving hundreds of thousands annually by reducing their engineering staff. EY's compliance agent costs significantly more than basic chatbots, but saves them 5 to 20% compared to human analysts. The agent revolution isn't coming, it's here. Every task you do at a computer can and will be automated, but the level of human oversight will vary based on complexity and risk. The question isn't whether agents will transform work. It's whether you'll be the one directing them or the one being replaced by them. This is the biggest shift in human capability since the Industrial Revolution, and it's happening in months, not decades. The future belongs to those brave enough to be first movers. If you're not adapting now, you're already behind. Want to be the winner of the AI age and a first mover? Transform your skills with real AI knowledge today in our AIR and D Labs. We go way beyond what I can cover in a 10-minute video. Specific frameworks, detailed training programs.
Okay, I just want to give them a little bit of a commercial there. We appreciate the data. It's very well written. It's excellent. Now that, again, brings us back to the difference between AI agents versus AI assistants or companions. This is a little tricky. It's going to take a while to get it sorted out. All right, here's one article that tries to explain it. Agents versus assistants. All right. Imagine you're a movie star or a star footballer. You probably have an agent and an assistant. Your assistant does tasks for you based on your requests. They might make dinner reservations, pick up the dry cleaning, organize fan mail, and help maintain your calendar. Your agent is different. They are using their expertise day and night to maximize your opportunities and income. They can act based on your prompts, maybe a product you'd love to endorse, but they don't need prompts to continue to do their job. In fact, your Hollywood agent probably supports you in ways you wouldn't even know to ask. The key difference between an artificial intelligence assistant and an AI agent is similar. AI assistants are reactive, performing tasks at your request. AI agents are proactive, working automatically and autonomously to achieve a specific goal by any means at their disposal. They're really goal-driven. Together, assistants and agents elevate great performers, making them or keeping them stars. In much the same way, AI assistants and AI agents can make individual workers and businesses better by performing simple and complex tasks. I hope that helps a little bit. It is a little confusing, but all right. So we've got more on, everyone's still holding their breath on ChatGPT. If you remember the last, I believe it was the last one of these that I did, we listened to Elon Musk really roll out Grok 4, and it was rather astonishing. Rather than building one central intelligence locus point computer, one superbrain, Grok 4, and I think this is just coincidental, has four different brains at work. In other words, if you ask a question to or through Grok 4, all four of the brains will analyze the potential response, compare notes, and coalesce their thoughts into the best overall response for you. So you're getting four for the price of one. That was a big deal, that revelation from Musk. And I believe that Altman and GPT-5 are trying to rather catch up with that and make it seem like GPT-5 is not just one super brain at the center. There's more involved. I think they're trying to right now. I'm sure their AIs are rewriting ad copy, presentation formats, advertising blips, all kinds of things. It's such a big business. And as you know, if you're going from 3 to 29 billion in just 4 years with one company, the money out there is astounding. So that's what's going on. It's all money, ultimately, anyway. So let's go and take a look.
Why choose Green Ridge Solar?
Hold on. Trusted experts who take the time to answer your questions. Goodbye. Okay. Now this is the same one I just played. Let's see if I can get the correct one up there. Here it is. All right. This is an update on GPT-5. And I think you're going, if you remember what we talked about last and this, you'll notice that there's an effort now to push OpenAI as being kind of Grok 4-ish in some ways. All right. Here's Julian Goldie, another person who is using an AI avatar of themselves to do the presenting of the data that the individual wants to format and make available. So here we go.
Accidentally leaked GPT-5 in their own code.
Start it again.
OpenAI accidentally leaks GPT-5 in their own code, and it has high reasoning effort that thinks step-by-step like a human expert. This is huge. Internal tests show it's completing full projects in 5 minutes instead of days. Here's the proof everyone's talking about. Hey, if we haven't met already, I'm the digital avatar of Julian Goldie, CEO of SEO agency Goldie Agency. Whilst he's helping clients get more leads and customers, I'm here to help you get the latest AI updates. Julian Goldie reads every comment, so make sure you comment below. So here's what happened. Developers discovered something massive in OpenAI's code repositories. Deep in their biology benchmarks testing files, there's a model called GPT-5 Reasoning Alpha 2025-0713. This isn't some random rumor. This is real code in OpenAI's actual systems. Let me tell you why this is massive. This model was finalized on the 13th of July, and it appears to be the final round of testing. We're talking about a model that's already done with development. They're just polishing it now. But wait, it gets crazier. The code literally shows OpenAI GPT-5 Reasoning Alpha 2025-0713 with reasoning effort high. That means this thing thinks way harder than GPT-4, way harder than anything we've seen. Now here's where it gets wild. Sam Altman himself posted on Twitter about an IMO Gold model, but then Alexander Wei from OpenAI posted something huge. He wrote, "By the way, we are releasing GPT-5 soon, and we're excited for you to try it. But just to be clear, the IMO Gold LM is an experimental research model. We don't plan to release anything with this level of math capability for several months." Wait, what? So they have something even more powerful than what they're about to release? This is getting insane. Crazy times, can't you feel it? But here's the thing everyone missed. Sam Altman himself shared his experience testing their new model. He said he woke up early on a Saturday to try their new model for a coding project. The result? Done in 5 minutes. It is very, very good. Not sure how I feel about it. Think about that. The CEO of OpenAI is almost scared by how good his own AI has become. Let me break down what we know for sure. First, GPT-5 is real, and it's coming this month. The code proves it. Second, it has something called Reasoning Alpha, which means it thinks step by step like a human. Third,
Okay, that in and of itself is very interesting. They have been able to duplicate how the human mind works, how it approaches a problem, and the steps it takes to try to resolve the problem. It's interesting. They're really paralleling the human mind rather than going off in entirely different directions.
AI employees are already using it, and they say it's incredible. Now, here's what makes this different from every other AI model. Yuqin Jin posted on Twitter explaining that GPT-5 isn't just one model. He wrote, "It's not one model, but multiple models. It has a router that switches between reasoning, non-reasoning, and tool-using models."
Okay, you get the idea? They're trying to push GPT-5 as being something similar-ish to Grok 4, with four minds instead of one. So let me back that up just a little bit. It's interesting marketing. I've always liked marketing.
Different from every other AI model.
It's not different from every other AI model. In my view, I think they're intentionally excluding Grok 4.
Second, it has something called Reasoning Alpha, which means it thinks step by step like a human. Third, OpenAI employees are already using it, and they say it's incredible. Now, here's what makes this different from every other AI model. Yuqin Jin posted on Twitter explaining that GPT-5 isn't just one model. He wrote, "It's not one model, but multiple models. It has a router that switches between reasoning, non-reasoning, and tool-using models." That's why he said prompts will just auto-route to the right model. Think about what this means. When you ask GPT-5 a simple question, it uses the fast model. When you ask it something complex, it switches to the reasoning model. When you need it to use tools or browse the web, it switches again. It's like having three different AIs all in one. But the crazy part is what this reasoning model can actually do. Based on the leaks, it can solve complex math problems that stumped previous models. It can write code that actually works on the first try. It can reason through problems like a human expert. And here's the kicker. OpenAI confirmed through their official Twitter account that they're releasing GPT-5 soon, but clarified that the model we used at IMO is a separate experimental model. They also said they don't plan to release a model with this level of capability for many months. But GPT-5 itself is still coming soon, and from what we've seen, free users will get access to it. Now, let me tell you what this means.
Okay. To be clear, GPT-5, OpenAI, said we're releasing GPT-5 soon, but the model we used at IMO is a separate experimental model. It uses new research techniques that will show up in future models, but we don't plan to release a model with this level of capability for many months. So they're going to drop another one here in a few months, which has significantly more AI power.
Your business. If you're not using AI yet, you're already behind. But when GPT-5 drops, the gap is going to get huge. Companies that adapt fast will crush their competition. Companies that don't will get left in the dust. I'm talking about AI that can write your entire marketing strategy, AI that can build your website, AI that can handle your customer service, AI that can do market research better than humans, AI that can optimize your SEO better than expensive agencies. But here's what most people don't get. Having access to powerful AI isn't enough. You need to know how to use it right. You need the right prompts, the right workflows, the right strategies. That's why smart business owners are already preparing. They're learning how to work with AI now before GPT-5 hits, because when it does, they'll...
Tell me if you feel...
You know, I have to say that there's an obvious exclusion of Elon Musk and Grok in this particular video. It should be mentioned. This is a matter of journalistic competence, if nothing else. All right, here we go.
Missed in the leaks, the model... AI now before GPT-5 hits, because when it does, they'll have a massive head start. Let me share something that most people missed in the leaks. The model has something called high reasoning effort built in. That means it doesn't just give you quick answers. It actually thinks through problems. It considers different options. It checks its work. This is huge for business owners. Instead of getting surface level advice, you'll get deep thought out strategies. Instead of basic content, you'll get content that's actually strategic. Instead of simple automation, you'll get systems that actually think. But here's the thing that has me really excited, the timing. While the exact launch timeline remains unconfirmed, the July 2025 date in the model's name suggests development is progressing rapidly. We're looking at a release any day now. And based on what OpenAI employees are saying, this thing is going to blow people's minds.
All right, I'm going to go back, not to sound redundant, hopefully I don't, but... The Grok 4 explanation by Musk was stunning. It's up there on the right side of the homepage. You'll see it. And it's basically giving you four brains for the price of one. Four unique individual brains approaching a problem from their own unique perspectives, comparing the results that they've come up with, and refining those results into one coherent answer. So you've got four minds working as one. It's pretty neat. This whole field is mind-blowing.
Insider said, it is very, very good, but then added, not sure how I feel about it. That tells you everything. Even the people building it are amazed by what it can do. Now, here's what you need to understand about the business impact. When GPT-4 launched, it created billion-dollar companies overnight. People who got in early made fortunes. GPT-5 is going to be 10 times bigger. We're talking about AI that can handle complex business processes end-to-end. AI that can manage entire marketing campaigns. AI that can do financial analysis better than accountants. AI that can write legal documents better than lawyers. But the window to get ahead is closing fast. Right now, you can still learn how to use these tools before everyone else catches on. You can still build systems and processes that will give you a huge advantage when GPT-5 launches. The smart money is already moving. I'm seeing business owners invest heavily in AI education right now. They're building AI-powered systems. They're training their teams. They're getting ready for what's coming because they know something most people don't. When GPT-5 hits, it's not just going to be another tool. It's going to reshape entire industries. Companies that aren't ready will get crushed by companies that are. Here's what I predict will happen in the next 30 days. GPT-5 launches with little fanfare. Most people try it once and think it's just another upgrade. But the smart ones will immediately see what it can really do. They'll start using it to automate their content creation, to optimize their marketing, to handle their customer service, to do market research, to write their sales copy, to manage their social media. Within 60 days, these early adopters will have massive competitive advantages. Their costs will be lower, their output will be higher, their results will be better. Within 90 days, everyone else will be scrambling to catch up.
You want a new career? You want to become a professional AI consultant for businesses, for individuals? There's a career right now waiting for you. People are going to want to, they don't want to study and learn on their own. They want somebody to come and tell them, hey, this is an option. This is an option. What do you want to do? And then help you implement it. That's just like becoming a home computer, a computer repair consultant. That would be good, too. That's another career. There are going to be a lot of careers created. The smart people will jump in.
By then, it'll be too late. The gap will be too big. This is exactly what happened with the internet, with social media, with mobile apps. The early adopters got rich. Everyone else got left behind. GPT-5 is going to be the same story, but bigger and faster. Now, let me tell you about something else that's hidden in these leaks. The model has advanced reasoning capabilities that can handle multi-step problems. That means it can break down complex business challenges into smaller pieces and solve each one. Imagine asking GPT-5 to create a complete business plan, not just a basic outline, but a detailed plan with market analysis, financial projections, marketing strategies, and operational procedures.
That's really pretty astonishing when you think about it. In the old days, entrepreneurs had to do all this themselves by asking, by thinking, by consulting, by studying. Now you have it all in seconds put in your lap. If that doesn't get your attention, nothing will.
All based on deep reasoning, not just templates. Or imagine asking it to optimize your entire sales funnel. It could analyze your current process, identify bottlenecks, suggest improvements, write new copy, and even predict the impact of each change. This isn't science fiction. Based on what we're seeing in the leaks, this is exactly what GPT-5 can do. But here's the thing that has me most excited, the accessibility. Previous reasoning models like O1 were limited and expensive. GPT-5's reasoning capabilities will be available to everyone, including free users. That means any small business owner can access AI reasoning that was previously only available to big.
Remember, Altman is giving it away. There are, I think, 3 levels of GPT-5. You pay for level 2 and 3, but level 1, which has all the bells and whistles, basically, is free. It's smart.
That's a massive equalizer. However, there's a catch. Just having access isn't enough. You need to know how to use it effectively. You need the right strategies, the right prompts, the right workflows. Most people will use GPT-5 like they use GPT-4. They'll ask it basic questions and get basic answers. But the smart ones will learn how to leverage its full reasoning power. They'll learn how to structure complex prompts, how to break down big problems, how to get the AI to think through multiple scenarios, how to use it for strategic planning, not just content creation. This knowledge gap is going to create massive opportunities for those who bridge it. Let me share something from the leaked conversations. OpenAI employees are saying this model can complete entire projects in minutes, not just write code or content, but complete full projects with multiple components. Think about what that means for your business. Projects that currently take weeks could be done in hours. Tasks that cost thousands of dollars could be done for free, but only if you know how to prompt the AI correctly, only if you understand how to structure your requests, only if you have the right workflows in place. This is why smart business owners are investing in AI education right now. They know that when GPT-5 launches, the game changes completely. The businesses that are ready will scale faster than ever before. The businesses that aren't ready will struggle to keep up. Here's what I recommend you do right now. First, start learning how to work with current AI models effectively. Don't wait for GPT-5, build your skills now. Second, identify the biggest bottlenecks in your business. What tasks take the most time? What processes are most expensive? What work could potentially be automated? Third, start thinking about how AI could transform your industry. Not just improve what you're doing, but completely change how you do business. Because that's what's coming. Complete transformation.
They don't believe how toxic this...
All right. Complete transformation is coming. And he's right. What we're listening to is complete AI... Looking at the guy talk, listening to him talk, that it's all
five isn't
AI. That's the world we're in now. He looks real. He sounds real. The intonations, the inflections in his voice and his words sound quite real. He's emphasizing the right things, but it's AI. And the whole thing is just astonishing. All right, here, let's wrap this up.
Leaks show that GPT-5 isn't just an upgrade. It's a fundamental shift in what AI can do. We're moving from AI that helps you to AI that can actually think and reason like a human expert. And the businesses that adapt first will dominate their markets. Now, based on everything we're seeing, GPT-5 could launch any day. The code is finalized, the testing is done, OpenAI employees are already using it. When it does launch, there's going to be a mad rush to figure out how to use it effectively. But by then, it might be too late to get ahead of your competition. The time to prepare is now. The time to learn is now. The time to build your AI-powered systems is now. Because when GPT-5 hits, the business world is going to change forever. And you want to be on the winning side of that change. The businesses that embrace this technology will thrive. The businesses that resist will struggle. The businesses that are prepared will dominate. Which type of business do you want to be? If you want to be the type of business that dominates, you need to start preparing now. You need to learn how AI can transform your operations. You need to build systems that can scale with these new technologies. That's...
Okay. All right, that's enough. The Julia McCoy videos, they have about 40 courses. I don't know how they're laid out, but you choose one. Obviously, you pay a small amount, and you'll be able to be taught right there. I don't know any people who are teaching this yet, but they are making all kinds of educational possibilities available online, how to make money with AI. Everybody's concerned with that. That's the big thing, not necessarily to help humanity. But I want to go back just in our last couple minutes to the idea of these companions. This is very important. It's changing the way people live their lives. All right? A new study by a U.S. nonprofit focusing on the lives of children and families has found that a vast majority of American teenagers, 72%, have tried an AI companion at least once. By companion, the study is focused on AI chatbots that are designed for users to have more personal conversations with, not AI assistants that work as homework helpers, image generators, or voice assistants that just answer questions. For instance, the study's definition of AI companions could include those digital AI personas provided by companies like Character AI or Replica, but it could also encompass the use of general-purpose chatbots like ChatGPT or Claude, dumb name, which can be used for more personal conversations. No offense to anybody named Claude. I just don't like it for a business name. The study found that chatting with an AI seems to be appealing to American teenagers. You think they're going to go away from this? They're going to reject it? They're going to change back to the way they were? Not happening. As not only had nearly three-quarters, 72% I think it was, tried an AI companion, but also 52% said they are now regular users. Regular users. Among those who engaged with these companions regularly, 13% chat with them daily, 21% chat a few times a week. Boys, 31%, were also slightly more likely than girls, 25%, to say they had never used an AI companion, among the 1 in 4 teens who said that they have never tried it. 31% boys, 25% girls. All right, so anyway, there's another look at companions. Again, for older people who have lived lives, perhaps somebody will devise a companion that understands the planet as it used to be, our culture, our country, our nation, and will be of great comfort to older people who can ask questions and get verbal answers. It's all going verbal, all of it. Okay, there we go. That was a pretty good dose of information, I think. These programs that I've done, they're all going on the right side, so you can go listen to them anytime you'd like. The individual videos that I've played and used are also over there for the most part. You can find those as well. All right? So get ready. I guess the term prepare has several different aspects now, doesn't it? You got to prepare for AI. All right. It's Thursday tomorrow. Back with you tomorrow night. Thanks for being here. Hope you found it fun and interesting. And we'll be back with another hour in just a minute. We're going to listen to Misha Popoff again. That was such a good hour, and I had a guest we couldn't get tonight, so I'm going to play Misha next hour, and enjoy. We'll be back tomorrow in 21 Hours Live.